A Manhattan criminal court judge yesterday denied a motion to quash a subpoena issued to Twitter for 3 months of records for an Occupy Wall Street protester. Malcolm Harris was part of the massive October 1st, 2011 protest, where police arrested some 700 demonstrators for marching onto the roadway of the Brooklyn Bridge. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office issued a subpoena to Twitter for all of Harris's records for a period of 3.5 months, from September 15th through December 30th of last year. Twitter challenged the subpoena, but in an 11-page ruling, Manhattan Criminal Court Judge Matthew Sciarrino denied Twitter's motion, saying the Constitution gives you the right to post, but as numerous people have learned, there are still consequences for your public posts. The American Civil Liberties Union filed an amicus brief in support of Twitter's motion. Aidan Fine, a staff attorney with the ACLU's Speech, Privacy, and Technology Project, says the court focused only on tweets that Harris had publicly posted.
And because they were publicly posted, the court held that there was no expectation of privacy in those tweets. But that's oversimplifying what was really at issue. The court overlooked the fact that in addition to the public tweets, the DA has also requested non-public information, and very sensitive non-public information, including the user's IP addresses whenever he used Twitter. And IP addresses can be used to reveal one's geographic location. So in other words, the subpoena would require Twitter to tell the DA exactly where the Twitter user was at all times over a 3-month period of time. And from our perspective, that seriously implicates his constitutional rights.
Malcolm Harris is being charged with disorderly conduct at the October March on the Brooklyn Bridge. What basis does that give the prosecutor to seek 3 months of location data on Mr. Harris?
From our perspective, there is no basis, and that's one of the reasons why this subpoena and the court order requiring Twitter to provide this information is unconstitutional. It's flatly overbroad. The explanation that the DA has offered is that on the day in question, Mr. Harris allegedly posted some tweets that supposedly contradict his defense that he was led by the police onto the bridge. I have no idea if that's true or not. But regardless of what he said on the day in question, they don't need to know what he said on the other 90 days that they've asked for in these subpoenas.
There was a case recently where a drug dealer was tracked by a GPS device on his car that was done outside the bounds of a limited search warrant. If the IP address information is as much a locator as GPS coordinates would be, is this a contradictory ruling in that respect?
Well, it's a somewhat different scenario. In the GPS context, there's an actual device that the government places on a vehicle, for example. So that makes the case a little different, but the concept is the same. You know, the government cannot obtain all of this information revealing where individuals are located, you know, over a long, prolonged period of time without getting a search warrant. And so from our perspective, the Fourth Amendment requires the government to get a search warrant before they can obtain all this detailed information about individuals' locations.
And that would be a search warrant issued to the Twitter company?
Yes. And importantly, a search warrant issued by a judge. The DA can't just issue its own subpoena requiring Twitter or anyone else to produce material to it. They need to go to a court and convince the court that the search warrant is justified and that they can pass constitutional scrutiny. And they didn't do that here.
If this ruling stands, does that mean that anyone who has a smartphone, their information could be subject to a subpoena from a prosecutor, including location information, text messages, emails, anything that passes through that account?
Well, the problem here is that the DA can ask for anything they want through a subpoena. You know, that doesn't mean they are legally entitled to get it. And the problem is that many companies won't necessarily fight back. And they'll just give law enforcement whatever they ask for. Twitter, thankfully, did. didn't do that here. They stood up for their users' rights, and that's great, and other companies should follow their lead. But what's the reality is that not every other company will do that for lots of different reasons. And so what's important is that the courts step in and make clear that law enforcement officials cannot get this sensitive information about what we're saying or what we're doing or where we're located just when we're using these devices, and that they can't get this just by issuing a subpoena. They need to go through the proper constitutional procedure and get a search warrant to get that information.
Will this ruling be appealed?
That still remains to be determined. Both Twitter and the individual Twitter user have a right to appeal this decision. And to my knowledge, they haven't made that decision yet.
Aidan Fine is a senior staff attorney at the American Civil Liberties Union.